Okay, these are Max and Stane. They're talking about demand and response. If you have no idea what that is, they're going to explain that. Yeah. And OpenADR is an open standard and a Rust implementation of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, great, yeah. Well, welcome everybody. Thank you all for coming. Today we're going to be giving a presentation about OpenLeaderRS, about demand response, and about OpenADR, like we just said. So OpenADR is a protocol, an open source protocol. It stands for Open Automated Demand Response. We're going to get into what that is exactly in the next 50 minutes. We're going to be giving you some background about the OpenLeaderRS project, a primer on demand response. We're going to be looking at a Dutch adoption of OpenADR, a Dutch use case, and we'll be looking ahead at future developments. We don't have too much time, so if you have questions, we'd love to answer them, but preferably at the end. But first, let us introduce ourselves.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Max. I'm working for the Dutch software consultancy Tweede Golf, specialized in Rust, and I'm the tech lead of the OpenLeaderRS implementation.
And I'm Stijn van Houwelingen. I am a specification writer and software developer at Elaat NL. We're going to be talking a bit about Elaat later on. And I would call myself a powerless user of OpenLeaderRS. Before we start to talk about demand response, we need to get into grid congestion a bit. So because this has a lot to do with demand response, we're looking at the grid congestion map of the Netherlands. As you can see, it's quite red, and red is not good. It means that there's a capacity shortage. So essentially, almost no new connections can be made. Existing ones can't be expanded. And this has a big impact on society. Housing projects are being put on hold, businesses can't expand, so the government is looking for ways to solve this problem. We could just build more transformers, but as you can imagine, this takes time, it costs money, so we're looking at other solutions to fix this. And it might seem there's no capacity left at all, but this map doesn't really tell the whole story. Because if we look at a day-to-day basis, we see something like this. We see a waveform with two peaks and valleys all besides them. And this kind of means that there's two peaks in which lots of people use electricity, and in between we've got a lot of space on the grid left. So if we can make better use of them, we still have some capacity. And we can do that with demand response programs. Demand response is the idea that demand, so customer appliances like washing machines, heat pumps, what have you, can respond to the status of the grid, so how busy is it on the grid. And a demand response program is a grid operator communicating, sending signals and communicating the status of the grid to consumers, so you at home or companies, so they can change the way they use electricity. This can come in the form of price signals or capacity limits, but the goal is to limit use during peak times either way. This benefits the DSO because there's more capacity, so they can get people on the network faster, or they have to build less transformers. But as a customer, it's also nice because electricity in those valleys is most of the time cheaper and a lot greener. How this works is the DSO predicts a peak, they send a signal to the customer, and then a customer appliance preferably automatically shuts down, or it shifts its use to another time of the day. And how that works exactly with OpenADR is going to be explained by Max.
Yeah, so let's have a quick look at what OpenADR is now. OpenADR is a standard to solve the problems that Stijn just laid out, and it stands for Open Automated Demand Response. It originated back in 2009 from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory and has quickly been taken over by the newly founded OpenADR Alliance that still governs the spec maintenance and development. And for us, most interesting are actually the versions 3.0 and 3.1 that have been released 2024, 2025, respectively. Because what mainly changed from the 2.0 versions there is that they switched from XML and XMPP to JSON and HTTP, which makes development a lot easier, as many can imagine, I guess. In general, OpenADR is a very high-level messaging protocol, a very generic one that can be used for many use cases and supports many use cases. And because of that, to have a very specific use case, you typically need to have an additional so-called profile, which further specifies how exactly to use these messages and how exactly to behave. And one such profile is the grid-aware charging that Elaat NL is developing and maintaining, and I guess Stijn will talk about that later a bit more in detail. So how does that work on a high level? We do have two parties involved here, generally. That is the distribution system operator, basically the grid operator. And in the case of the grid-aware charging, we have the charge point operators. In the OpenADR speech, they run a business logic and a customer logic, and they are have a so-called virtual top node, I would just call it a server, and a virtual end node, basically the clients of that whole thing. And communication, at least for the basic use case, happens over two message types that are so-called events and reports. So the virtual top node, the VTN, will send out events to the customer logic. The customer logic will somehow react to that, and it may or may not send back reports that, for example, tell the DSO on how much energy they have used in the last hour or what they possibly predict to use in the future, maybe. All these are possible use cases how you could use that. So our implementation, OpenLeader RS, is then an implementation of that standard OpenADR, and that's a joint effort by Elatnl and Tvedekhov. And it was born out of the desire from Tvedekhov to add or to use our expertise that we already gained in other internet protocols like the network time protocol to create a positive impact into the energy domain as well. And that way our ways were crossing with Elat, that were also planning to work with OpenADR, and so we joined our forces to get OpenLeader up and running. And then we also sponsored this to the LF Energy organization that now is housing this whole project. So what does that actually, what can OpenLeader do? We do have a well-tested OpenADR 3.0 implementation already that's used in production. Stan will talk about that in a second. We just released a beta version of the OpenADR 3.1 implementation, and we are currently busy implementing a so-called subscription feature, which basically lets you send real-time signals for the grid. We are working on a CLI that makes debugging and prototyping easier. And the good news is we are already funded for 2026, so maintenance and development is going on. Short note on why we're using Rust. Reasons are fairly simple. Reliability is the biggest reason here, because for the energy grid we do need a reliable and preferably memory safe and efficient code here. Deployment is pretty easy because you just get a single binary that you can just run. You don't need a Java virtual machine to be set up. You don't need a Python interpreter in the right version, something like that. And growing Rust adoption across the infrastructure and embedded systems communities also shows us that we are on the right path here. Don't get worried. Interoperability is easy. Communication just happens over HTTP, as I mentioned. So virtually any programming language can interact with them. Doesn't matter if you're implementing the business logic, the client logic, the whatever you are, you can just interact via HTTP. You don't have to mess with the Rust code if you're not familiar with that. Having said that, Stan will talk about how this is actually used in practice, where we are, and what's going on in the future.
Thank you, Max. So we just talked about OpenLeader, about OpenADR, but who's actually using these projects, these protocols. One project is by the Dutch Research Institute, ELAT, which I'm a part of. It's a Dutch research institute funded by the district service operators or the grid operators in the Netherlands. And the goal of the project, or of this use case, was making EV chargers aware of the grid specifically. So the idea was that EV chargers could be limited during those peak times to make sure that the grid doesn't get overloaded. It's a part of the Dutch National Charging Infrastructure Agenda, which is a government program to oversee the rollout of EV chargers in the Netherlands. How it works is a CPO pulls for data. It's a simple REST API, so they do a GET request, they get events, and they see when their charge when their charges are limited, and then they apply those limits via a protocol like OCPP on their charges. As part of the project, we also made custom tooling, mainly for the DSO, so we can check that the events they put on the servers are actually correct. So currently, the use case is mainly public EV charging stations, what we call slow charger stations or 11 kilowatt chargers. We're also looking to broaden the scope to target homes via home energy management systems. And because OpenADR is very high level, this is not actually that big of a problem. We're also looking to define a model for grid congestion on multiple levels so we can make more efficient use of grid resources. ALAT has also created a few open source projects. We have a Python SDK for the VEN side, so if you want to connect to OpenLeader, you can do so in Python as well, with the GridAware Charging Compliance plugin. And we're also making a graphical user interface, mainly also for our own pilots and test use cases, so we can more easily manage those. They're all open source, so you can look them up on GitHub. Looking ahead, ALAT and Tweede Golf are committed to this project. Like Mark said, the funding is secured for 2026. Please go and talk to us after this talk or reach out to us via Slack. There's a one-monthly technical steering committee meeting of OpenLeader if you want to get involved. You can also create a PR with good first issues. Max has made sure that there's a few of those. And if you want to learn more about OpenADR, you can join us at ALAT for the European Flexibility Initiative in March, which will include a vehicle-to-grid demo using OpenADR in Arnhem. That was a presentation. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. Thank you. Right, yes. So your question was, is if OpenLeader implements the client side or the server side? I think Max can tell us something about that.
Yes. So as of now, we're mostly focused on the server side, the VTN. We do also have a VAN client, though the thing is the VAN is mostly a very abstract idea in OpenADR, and so it's a very thin layer, which mainly is abstracting away the HTTP requests. So we do have sort of a Rust SDK, if you want to say so. But most of the work is the server side, the VTN. Yes.
So would I find it already in some home appliances or something like that? Or is it just some of the future right now and it's, you're only like working with new EV stations?
So the question was whether it's already in home appliances or at the moment still limited to public charging, and I guess that is something for you.
So OpenADR is not really targeting specific devices, so the idea is that it's very high level. It will send a signal or kind of a description of what a group of appliances need to do. So what you could see in the future is a home energy management system, for instance, being able to ingest OpenADR signals and then going to your charger or your heat pump and then applying limits or reading prices, something like that. So, yeah. Any other questions? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Does the service, do you envision the service running on like main drive or through like power wires?
So the question was if this is mainly for Ethernet or Internet use or also for over power lines, if it will communicate over power lines. So OpenADR is very specifically a REST API, so it's very specifically an Internet protocol because it's so high level. The idea is that if you want to apply OpenADR to a device, you can translate those and then you can use something like ZigBee maybe or Matter or whatever else, S2 of course, if you want to. Right. Right, yes. So the question is what a virtual power plant would use, a server or a client. In that case, that would be a VN, so that would be a client. So you would be communicating with the grid operator and then getting signals from their server and then using those. Yes.
Thumbs up.
Ah, too bad. Right. Thank you very much.